VOA 1.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on today's program, Mario Ritter Jr. and Gina Bennett have a story on the importance of krill, the tiny Antarctic Ocean animal. Brian Lynn has this week's science report on an artificial intelligence tool that can identify supernovas. Later, Jill Robbins and Andrew Smith present the lesson of the day. But first,
Antarctic krill, a relative of shrimp and crabs, are only a few centimeters in size, but scientists say they are important to the area's food web, including food for some of the Earth's largest animals, whales. Fishing ships in the Antarctic gather krill for use as food in an increasing number of products. That has activists concerned. Alistair Allen is an activist with the Bob Brown Foundation, an Australian environmental group with ties to the country's Green Party. Allen said he was worried the ship activity could harm the whales. "You have the ships almost running into whales, feeding on the same things they're fishing."
Krill fishing is banned in U.S. waters because of concerns it could affect whales, seals, and other sea animals. But krill fishing has gone on for about 60 years. It is believed to have started when the former Soviet Union sent an industrial fleet to the Antarctic in search of a supply of high-protein food. Demand has increased over the years. Krill is used a lot in the fish farming industry. They are also used in nutritional supplements, pet food, and other high-protein foods. The Associated Press reports that 10 to 12 ships, mainly from Norway and China, head to the South Orkney Islands to fish for krill each December. Fishing countries agreed to a catch limit under a conservation agreement. In 2022, that level was about 416,000 metric tons. A coalition of countries led by the U.S. has called for additional restrictions. The coalition says krill is important to other animals. It also says that krill removes greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. However, China and Russia have opposed efforts to put in place new restrictions. There are reports that the krill boats are a danger to whales. In addition to that, a study from the University of California, Santa Cruz, found that pregnancy rates among humpback whales in Antarctica have fallen sharply. The reason, it said, might be a lack of krill. Also, research published by the World Wildlife Fund, a Swiss conservation group, says that krill remove 23 million tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. The research suggests that krill do this by eating phytoplankton, microscopic forms of life that make food from sunlight and carbon dioxide. Emma Cavan is a biologist at Imperial College London. She helped write the report. She said, Antarctic krill are worth more to nature and people left in the ocean.
The Commission for the Conservation of Antarctic Marine Living Resources, or CCAMLR, is an international body with 27 member states established in 1982. The group, based in Tasmania, Australia, makes rules for conservation issues like krill fishing. But some supporters of the group say it has to consider climate change in its rules. Claire Christian is head of the Antarctic and South Ocean Coalition, a nonprofit group based in Washington, D.C. Her group represents environmental groups at CCAMLR meetings. Christian told the AP that CCAMLR is supposed to support conservation. It's not to enable fishing, she said. The Australia-based Association of Responsible Krill Harvesting Companies, ARC, represents members who harvest 90% of the Antarctic krill. Members accepted self-imposed restrictions in 2018. The group has agreed to place stronger rules on moving krill between ships and to study the effects of climate change on krill. But the group says its catch limits should be higher. It noted that its members catch less than 1% of the estimated 60 million metric tons of krill found in the main Antarctic fishing grounds. That leaves 99% for whales and other animals. Activists, however, are calling for reform. Helena Herr studies whales at the University of Hamburg in Germany. Herr briefly served in an advisory position with the ARC group. She believes krill fishing should be banned. She said she did not trust the estimates of the amount of krill in the Antarctic. The data is based on such vague assumptions that we don't really know what we're doing, she said. I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
And I'm Gina Bennett.
Scientists say they have built an artificial intelligence, AI, tool that can successfully identify and confirm supernovas. A supernova is an extremely bright, super-powerful explosion of a star, the American Space Agency NASA reports. The explosion takes place at the end of a star's life. The current process for discovering supernovas usually involves both machines and people. Telescopes repeatedly collect images of the night sky and compare these images to identify differences in observed objects. These differences can suggest the presence of supernovas. Robotic telescopes can present a list of possible supernovas to human scientists. This data is then examined by human scientists whose job it is to identify and confirm supernova candidates. Now, for the first time, researchers say they have successfully used an AI tool to complete all steps in this process. An international team of scientists developed the AI-based system. Researchers from Northwestern University in Chicago, Illinois, led the team. The team's chief was Adam Miller, an assistant professor of physics and astronomy at Northwestern. Miller said his team recently informed the international astronomical community of its success with the new AI system. The tool is called the Bright Transient Survey Bot, or BTS Bot. The robot was used to find, identify, and classify a supernova for the first time, Miller said. He noted that researchers had spent more than 2,000 hours over the past 6 years looking at telescope data in order to find and classify supernova candidates. For the first time ever, a series of robots and AI algorithms has observed, then identified, then communicated with another telescope to finally confirm the discovery of a supernova, Miller said. The researchers say the new system can take over much of the work humans now do looking for and classifying supernovas. This can free up scientists to do more in-depth examinations of the supernovas themselves and the reasons they were created. In order to confirm a supernova, scientists have to examine its spectrum. The spectrum represents the object's dispersed light, which shows elements that were present during the explosion of a supernova. The study of supernovas has high scientific value because it can help astronomers learn more about the universe and how it began. For example, NASA says scientists have learned a lot about the behaviors and chemical processes of stars from supernovas. Miller said the new tool can help researchers analyze their observations and develop new hypotheses to explain why the supernova explosions happened. Nabil Rahimtulla co-led the research and development of the BTS bot. He said the tool greatly streamlines large studies of supernovas. This helps scientists better understand the life cycles of stars and helps to identify elements supernovas create, such as carbon, iron, and gold, Rahimtulla noted. The research team said testing of the BTS bot involved looking at a newly discovered supernova candidate called SN2023TYK. The AI tool identified the supernova on October 5th. After the identification, the BTS bot requested additional data on its own from the California-based Palomar Observatory. Then another telescope, known as the SED Machine, performed its own in-depth observations to get information on the object's spectrum. The SED Machine then sent the spectrum data to the California Institute of Technology, Caltech. Caltech uses an AI algorithm to classify the kind of supernova. This can either be a thermonuclear explosion of a white dwarf or the collapse of a star's center or core. The algorithm classified the supernova a type 1A, a kind of star explosion in which a white dwarf in a star system fully explodes. Rahmatulla said the success of the BTS bot will ease supernova identifications while freeing up human scientists to do more detailed study of the newly discovered objects. The beauty of it is that once everything is turned on and working properly, we don't actually do anything, Rahmatulla noted. We go to sleep at night, and in the morning we see that BTS bot and these other AIs unwaveringly do their jobs. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn joins me now to talk more about his science report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Of course, Dan. Thank you for having me.
In this week's report, we learned about a new AI tool that, for the first time, identified and classified a supernova without human help. It seems that AI technology is being used more and more to assist scientists in their work, and particularly in the area of space exploration.
Yes, we have already seen several AI tools help make some pretty big discoveries, and these tools generally involve machine learning systems called algorithms. They are designed to examine massive amounts of data and look for differences that can take human scientists a very long time to find. Such AI tools have become quite common with space agencies like NASA, but the latest example is believed to be the first time an AI system went through the whole process of identifying, confirming, and classifying a supernova without human help.
What are some other examples of some space discoveries made with help from AI?
So, yes, in the past couple of years, there have been some significant ones. In 2021, NASA said it used an AI tool to confirm the existence of hundreds of new exoplanets, and a couple of other discoveries involved asteroids. One of them was an algorithm that found more than 100 asteroids, while the other identified an asteroid that could one day present a threat to Earth.
Very cool. Thanks again for being here, Brian.
You're welcome, Dan. Thank you.
Is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Being in Washington helps Anna learn about U.S. history. There are many memorials and monuments in the city that connect to important people and events in the country's past. As we mentioned in a previous lesson of the day, a memorial is something that pays respect to the memory of the lives of people who have died.
And a monument is a large structure, usually made out of stone, built to remind people of a famous person or a famous historical event. Lessons 25 and 26 of the series show Anna learning about U.S. history at the monuments and memorials.
Near the Lincoln Memorial, a man who is interested in U.S. history runs into Anna by accident. Let's listen.
Hello from Washington, D.C. This city has many monuments and memorials. Today, I am visiting the ones built in memory of our presidents, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. I want to learn more about them. Hey, watch out!
Sorry, I did not see you.
You were not looking. You should be more careful.
I know I should be more careful, but this game is really fun.
What kind of game?
What kind of game do you think the man who bumped into Anna is playing? A video game? Let's find out.
What kind of game?
You have to find things that aren't really there.
How can you find things that aren't really there?
They're in your phone. See?
I see. It's like a scavenger hunt.
That's right.
I don't have time for games. I want to learn about U.S. presidents.
Then you should play this game. When you find an American symbol, you win points and a fun fact about a U.S. president.
I have time for this game.
To play this game, people use their phones to find information. To find the information, they must go to several places in the city. When they reach a particular place, for example, a memorial or monument, the phone will show them the information they want to find about U.S. history.
How can you find things that aren't really there?
They're in your phone. See?
I see. It's like a scavenger hunt.
That's right.
We call this kind of game, where you go to several places to find things that are hidden, a scavenger hunt. It can be a lot of fun to play.
And in nature, there are animals that are scavengers, such as vultures. These large birds eat animals that have died or been killed by other animals.
And the verb scavenge, that's spelled S-C-A-V-E-N-G-E, means to look for or collect things that have been left or that are not wanted.
We have another newer expression in English to describe an activity where people scavenge in large garbage containers called dumpsters. We call this dumpster diving.
That's right. I have never been dumpster diving, but I have heard about that. Now, let's listen again to what Anna says when the man bumps into her.
Hey, watch out!
Sorry, I did not see you.
You were not looking. You should be more careful.
I know I should be more careful, but this game is really fun.
Both Anna and the man use the modal should. It is common to use the modal should to give advice or suggest that something is a good thing to do. The tone of voice we use with the word should gives the advice a positive feeling, a neutral feeling, or a negative feeling of disapproval. Let's listen to three examples.
You were not looking. You should be more careful.
I know I should be more careful. Then you should play this game.
Did you hear how each example had a different feeling or effect? The last example had a more positive feeling of encouragement.
Then you should play this game.
The first example expressed disapproval.
You should be more careful.
And the next example had a neutral tone, not too positive and not too negative.
I know I should be more careful.
Remember that there's another way we use the modal should. We use it to express what we think will likely happen, Listen to this example.
The bus should be here in about 10 minutes.
The modal supposed to also shares the same two meanings as should. We use it to suggest correct behavior, or we use it to express what we think will likely happen. These two examples show the difference.
You're supposed to wash your hands before you cook.
The train is supposed to arrive at 3:30. You might hear people saying something different when they speak quickly. The train was supposed to arrive at 3:30, but it didn't. Here, a two-syllable word, supposed, becomes more like one syllable, supposed.
I'm Andrew Smith, and you're listening to the Lesson of the Day on the Learning English podcast. On our website, you can download a lesson plan for Let's Learn English Lesson 25. It includes a game and other ways you can practice giving advice with the modal should. The lesson plan also includes a glossary of vocabulary from the show, as well as a quiz.
And remember that you can download a lesson plan for every episode of Let's Learn English.
Jill, there's one more modal we ought to mention from Lesson 25.
Yes, there is. We ought to mention the modal ought to.
Just like should and supposed to, ought to can suggest behavior or express the idea that something is likely to happen.
Listen to this example from Lesson 25 and see how the speaker uses the modal ought to.
What symbol are you looking for now?
I am looking for the bald eagle. That is 100 points. It should be near the Washington Monument.
This game is awesome.
You ought to buy the app right now. It's called Catch Americana.
Got it. Catch Americana. Thanks.
You can hear that the speaker makes a suggestion by using the modal ought to.
Because he is not speaking very quickly, he pronounces it like this.
You ought to buy the app right now.
You can hear him pronounce the letter T. But as we have explained in many previous episodes, remember that the pronunciation changes when we talk faster. Ought to changes to oughta. For example, listen to this short exchange between Jill and me.
Have you been to the new spy museum downtown?
No, have you?
Yeah, it's great. You ought to go.
Oughta. That makes me think of a line from a song by the American musician Billy Joel, where he says, "You oughta know by now."
Well, Andrew, I think we ought to bring this lesson of the day to a close. But first, let's ask our listeners a question. What game do you play on your phone? Write to us at learningenglish@voanews.com or answer in the comments on YouTube.
We should also tell our listeners that they can learn more on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. They can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram.
Thanks for listening to the Learning English Podcast. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.